Chapter 40.
Being a vampire is tougher than you think, said Catherine. You get these great powers, and you think, now I'm a big badass, but you're completely reliant on other people. Take travel, for instance. I'm in this stupid bag again after I vowed never to... Are you paying attention? Ooh, your ascot's slipping.
Catherine adjusted the ascot she'd made out of fabric torn from the black elf's cloak to cover the hole she'd ripped out of his neck.
There you go, all fixed.
She wasn't crazy. She was passing the time talking to an elf who she understood all too well was not alive. He was just a focus for her to talk to herself. Crazy people don't know that what they're doing is crazy. Catherine was fully aware that what she was doing was crazy, and so she could therefore not be.
What was I saying? Oh, right. I mean, I'm trusting my life to Chaz of all people. I'd be better off taking my chances with a parasol. And do you know how embarrassing it is to have to step into a bag while all these strangers are watching me, while he's watching me? No, not Chaz. I don't give a shit about Chaz. I'm talking about Tanner. Oh, I don't know. I mean, sure, I like him. But do I like him? It's really too early to tell, isn't it? Take it from me, bub. You don't want to rush these things. But yeah, he's cute and smart, and we're both half-elves. I'm not saying that matters. I'm just saying it's something we have in common. We could swap clothes or whatever. Fuck you! I'm sorry. You're right. It's just this bag. It gets to me, you know. Nah, he's cool. He even gave me a little goodbye wave. It was sweet, but I'll tell you this much. I will fry in the fucking sun before I let that smug Stacy bitch see me step into a bag. I don't care. I've got my limits, and I won't.
Catherine felt a hand grasp her ankle.
I'll talk to you later.
The road rushed up fast to hit her in the face. She rolled over onto her back and wiped her hair out of her eyes to find she was surrounded by old people clapping enthusiastically. Chaz held the bag of holding out to his side and took a deep bow.
Dude, what the fuck? Said Catherine. Put the bag on the ground before you pull me out. Don't hold it up in the air and dump me out like a sack of potatoes.
I'm sorry, said Chaz. Hi.
And what's with grabbing me by the leg?
Well, I didn't want to specify Catherine's arm. What if the bag takes that to mean I only want your arm?
A shiver ran up Catherine's spine.
Oh, that's a good point.
Thank you.
Why are we not in the city yet? Who the fuck are all these geriatrics?
Chaz scowled.
Tanner said we should hang back and escort the elderly citizens.
Catherine clapped her hands together.
That is so sweet.
What?
Where is he?
Catherine stood up and shoved two old men out of her way to break free from the crowd.
Whoa!
Stacy and Tanner were walking together. Stacy was telling him something which required growling and clawing at the air, and he was completely enthralled.
Uh-uh, mamacita, said Catherine. You need to back that shit up right now.
Tanner stopped laughing. Stacy stopped clawing and sighed.
Looks like someone let the cat out of the bag.
Catherine got up in her face.
And what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Your name is Cat, and you were just released from a bag. Catherine stepped back.
Fine.
She looked at Tanner.
Whatever she was saying about me, it's a goddamn lie.
She hasn't mentioned you, said Tanner.
Then what was with all the clawing and growling?
Tanner smiled.
Stacy was regaling me with tales of the mayor of Porttown. Quite the character, he seems.
Subject change. With her vision not rage-focused on Stacy and Tanner, Catherine noticed that Dave, Julian, and that other elf guy who insisted on being called Tony the Elf had joined them on the road. Tony the Elf had an unconscious, bound, and gagged third elf slung over his shoulder. Tim and Cooper were still missing.
Have you guys seen Tim?
Dave shook his head.
He and Cooper weren't in Porttown. We thought they might be with you.
They weren't with me. I've been in a fucking bag all day.
They're probably back at the Horse Head, said Julian. You know those two.
These old folks walked even slower than Dave. Catherine suggested stuffing them all into the bag of holding and flying them into the city, but the idea was not well received. Distant in the northwestern sky, the big flying boat loomed, orbited by dragons, like a giant floating atom. It was a strange sight for a while, like when the Hale-Bopp comet was visible in the sky back in the late 90s. But just like the comet, Catherine eventually grew accustomed to it being there. She tried to keep her mind focused on the tongue-lashing she was going to give her brother when she finally caught up with him, but Stacy's incessant yapping kept her distracted.
Blah, blah, blah. We put out a fire. Blah, blah, blah. We captured a guy who may or may not be Mordred. Blah, blah, blah. A tiger man clawed his way out of a dragon's asshole. Blah, blah, blah. We got some new toys.
And the worst part was that Tanner was eating that shit up. Catherine couldn't interrupt without coming off like a total bitch, but she didn't know how much longer she could go on listening to
Cardinia,
one of the old people shouted. Catherine looked up. There it was on the horizon, vast city walls silhouetted against moonlit clouds. There seemed to be a lot of frenzied movement on the top of the walls, like little ants scurrying about after someone poked the hill with a stick, but Catherine couldn't make out any more detail than that from this far away. Before long, she could hear the sounds of battle. Orcs were storming toward the gate and being mowed down by arrows. Humans, half-elves, and dwarves pounded on the gate, screaming for it to open. This went on for a time before a tiny orange speck of light zoomed out from the top of the left gate tower to the flying boat, where it exploded into a massive ball of fire, which seemed to have no effect but to make the old people ooh and ah. An evil laugh erupted from the boat, and it returned fire with a sickly green spotlight, which it scanned along the base of the wall like it was searching for something. It didn't seem like much of a big deal to Catherine, but the screaming from within the city grew louder and more intense.
"What is that?" asked Stacy.
Tanner shrugged and shook his head. Then his eyes widened as he stared at the boat.
"The dragons have been released!"
Catherine watched as the three dragons flew toward the city walls. One approached from the east, another from the west, and the third flew down toward the crowd huddled at the gate. All three dragons vomited massive plumes of fire indiscriminately onto soldier, civilian, and orc. The masses atop the walls changed from ants into fireflies. Burning bodies fell, or jumped, off of the walls. More often than not, they stayed put where they landed, that is, until the green light from the ship shone on them.
"They're getting slaughtered," said Tanner. "We have to help!"
"Help how?" said Tony the Elf. "If the king's whole army can't stop them, what can we do?"
"We can take out one of those dragons."
"How?"
Tanner smiled at Stacy.
"The same way Mayor Merriweather did."
Catherine frowned, trying to remember the finer points of Stacy's story.
"You're going to let it eat you and then claw your way out of its asshole?"
"Of course not. I'd be dead in an instant."
Stacy looked from Tanner to Catherine.
"But you could do it. You could get in there and turn into a big wolf and tear it apart from the inside."
"Fuck that shit," said Catherine.
She looked at Tanner. "Did you mean..."
No, said Tanner. "Powerful as you are, that's far too risky. But we will need someone to use as bait."
He looked at Tony the Elf.
"What about your prisoner?"
"No can do," said Tony the Elf. "We need him alive."
Catherine wasn't going to be the one to suggest using one of the old people. She'd gotten bad enough looks for wanting to ferry them over the wall in a bag. Bag.
Bag! "I have a dead elf in my bag,"
she blurted out before considering how such an announcement might be received.
"You have what?" asked Stacy.
"Excellent," said Tanner. "Dave, I'll need your immovable rod, your breastplate, and your mace."
Said
Dave.
"Okay."
While Dave removed his armor, Catherine dumped the body of the dead elf onto the road. Everyone gawked silently down at it. It only then occurred to Catherine that this was one of Tanner's people.
"Did you make that ascot?"
asked Tanner. Catherine nodded.
"Nice work."
"I can make you one."
"Another time,"
he addressed the whole group.
"I'll need any swords or spears anyone can spare."
Julian laid down an old rusty sword, and Tony the Elf tossed down a spear in similar condition. One of the old men knelt before the pile of offerings and gently laid down an ancient-looking leather scabbard containing a sword with a tarnished hilt.
"It belonged to my grandfather."
"Keep your grandfather's sword, sir," said Tanner. "Pass it down to your grandson. My own blade will be sufficient."
With that, he proceeded to pound the shit out of Dave's breastplate with Dave's mace.
"Hey, man," cried Dave. "What the fuck are you doing? I need that."
But he dared not get too close to the crazy black half-elf wielding his mace.
"It's for the greater good," said Tanner.
Having bent the breastplate to the point of uselessness, he took the spear with both hands and started punching holes in it. After about 20 minutes of hammering, bending, and twisting metal, Tanner had something that resembled an iron football, only with blades poking out in every direction. At the center of the football was Dave's immovable rod, wrapped up so tightly that it didn't even rattle. He flipped the dead elf over on the road so that he lay face down.
"The more squeamish of you may want to look away."
No one looked away. Tanner shrugged, then shoved a protruding spearhead into the base of the elf's skull, up into its brain.
"Well, I suppose that's that,"
he said, standing up to admire his handiwork.
"That's that," said Dave. "What the fuck is that?"
A baited hook, said Tanner. Now all we need to do is cast our line and reel us in a dragon.
The road was becoming a dangerous place as two of the dragons continued to rain fire down on the city. The third was flying in a zigzag pattern across the road, lighting up orcs and townsfolk, and it was getting closer to them with every pass. Under Tanner's instruction, Catherine and Julian carried the mutilated elf corpse to the edge of the forest on the left side of the road, taking care not to mangle it any more than it was already mangled, while Stacy and Tony the elf shepherded the old folks into the woods on the right.
Here's how it works, said Tanner. Catherine, I'm going to need you to fly Julian and our unfortunate friend here up a few feet above the treetops. Julian, I'll need you to put your finger into the hole at the bottom of the thing and push the button on the immovable rod. When he's suspended in the air, both of you come back down here.
Julian wrapped the edge of his serape around his hand before lifting the contraption by the shaft of the spear poking up through the bottom of the dead elf's head.
I hope this works because it's pretty gross.
Catherine wasn't exactly sure what all this was adding up to, but she did her part. She took her giant bat form and lifted Julian by the arm he was holding the elf with.
Ow, 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 ow,
said Julian as Catherine flapped.
Ow, okay, okay, bring me down.
When they reached the ground, Catherine changed back into a half-elf. Julian's face was bleeding from a small cut on the side of his face.
What happened?
Your unsteady flying happened, said Julian. As soon as the thing went rigid, I got sliced in the face.
I'm sorry.
Don't be, said Tanner. That means it's going to work.
Julian looked up at the suspended elf corpse.
I think I get what you're going for, but that's clearly a dead elf hanging from a ball of spikes. It's hardly tempting.
That's what you're here for, said Tanner. If all I needed was a button pusher, I would have invited the whining bard. I need a sorcerer to bring that body to life.
Julian frowned.
I think you severely overestimate the power of my sorcery.
Tanner laughed.
I don't mean literally. He's got a spearhead in his brain, after all. But surely you know how to cast the spell Mage Hand.
Yeah, I can do that. It's a zero-level spell.
I don't know what that means.
Julian looked up at the dead elf.
Wait a minute. You want me to weaken to Bernie's this guy?
Again, said Tanner. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You want me to wave his arms around and stuff so that he looks alive?
Tanner smiled.
Precisely.
Julian shrugged.
I've participated in stupider plans. So what then? We shout insults about his mother and hope for the best?
I was thinking you might cast a magic missile at him.
You really should have checked with me about whether or not I had all these spells you need before you went through all the prep work.
Every sorcerer knows magic missile.
Well, what if I'd used them all up already?
Tanner shrugged.
Then I guess we'd shout insults about his mother and hope for the best. Can you cast the spell or not?
Yeah, I've got it.
Good, said Tanner. Get your ass up that tree, then, and use it.
Why do I have to climb up a tree?
You want the spell to come from as close to the decoy as possible,
Tanner explained.
And you need to see your target, hopefully without him noticing you. You'll have more cover in the trees than you would from the road.
What can I do?
Asked Catherine.
Catch your friend when he jumps out of the tree.
I'm going to jump out of the tree? Asked Julian.
We'll see how long you want to linger in that tree when there's a red dragon flying your way.
Point taken.
Julian pulled himself onto the lowermost branch of the tree beneath the decoy and started climbing. Catherine watched Julian climb for a while, then looked at Tanner.
Do you really think this will work?
If the dragon takes the bait, the dwarf's armor should hold the blades in place while protecting the activation button from accidentally being pushed. With any luck, he'll slice himself all the way down the esophagus before he realizes what's happened to him, and the device will be lodged in his gut. The more he thrashes about in agony, the more he tears himself apart from the inside. Even if he manages to remain perfectly still, he'll be out of the fight. One less dragon to...
Mother fla... Ow!
Julian's voice said from a suddenly flattened sapling.
Julian? Said Catherine. I didn't hear you cast the spell or call down or anything. And how am I supposed to catch you if you're invisible?
Julian materialized on the ground.
I panicked! As soon as I hit him with the magic missile, he looked my way, and my brain told me to take every defensive measure I could at once. That included fleeing and activating the ring.
You really hit him?
Tanner's voice was trembling with excitement.
Hurry up! Stop moving the elf's arms!
Catherine and Tanner helped Julian up over to a position directly below the decoy.
Mage hand!
Julian groaned. His fingers pointing down, he pinched the air like he was holding two beer bottles by their caps and waved his arms up and down. When Catherine looked up, the dead elf's arms were waving just like Julian's, suspended in the air by their middle fingers. Catherine wondered if that gesture translated. The dragon's angry roar in response, she felt, was inconclusive evidence. Tanner took Catherine's hand and squeezed it tight. If her heart could beat, it would have been pounding. Just like that, the visible sky through the gap in the forest canopy was replaced by flashes of scaly underbelly, which came to a halt like a rabid dog having reached the limit of its leash. If the dragon's anger roar was loud, its pain roar was deafening.
"Let's get out of here!"
Tanner shouted, keeping his grasp of Catherine's hand as he ran for the road. They followed Julian, who was sprinting like his ass was on fire. Clearing the forest, they met Dave, Chaz, Stacy, Tony the Elf, and a bunch of old people who had come out of hiding to watch the spectacle. The dragon did as Tanner had predicted. It thrashed its tail, beat its legs, set fire to a semicircle of trees, but did not move more than a few feet in any direction. Breathing fire soon gave way to vomiting blood as the creature's wings flapped weaker and weaker gusts. Its final roar was like that of a wounded walrus. Finally, it went limp, hanging in the air with only its head and the tip of its tail swaying inches off the ground. The old people clapped enthusiastically.